The following is a Raygun-armed, faster-than-light presentation of GalacticNetcasts.com. All right, welcome to episode 17 of the Sci-Fi Film School podcast for Sunday, January 15th, 2012. I am Dave Nelson on Twitter as The Inter Dave, and joining me as always is Mr. Matt Stein, Drown the Matt on Twitter. How you doing, Matt?
Delicious, Dave.
Why did you say delicious? Is there a reason behind that?
I figured it would throw you off.
Okay.
I figured it would throw you off because I was just saying good.
Okay. So you're
trying to say delicious.
Trying to be different, are you?
Yep. That's, yeah, yes.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
All right. So this is the podcast where we watch a different assigned science fiction movie or TV show each week, then talk about it, and we quiz Matt and you, the listener or viewer, on how much you got from the movie that we watched. And for our Spreecast.com viewers, feel free to ask questions throughout the show. Then at the very end of the podcast, we'll bring a couple people on camera and do kind of a post-show kind of thing. So let's get it underway. This week's assignment was the 1971 film adaptation of the Anthony Burgess 1962 novel of the same name, A Clockwork Orange, which was written, directed, and produced by Stanley Kubrick, and it definitely had the Stanley Kubrick... Am I saying that right? Stanley Kubrick? Kubrick?
Usually people just say Kubrick,
okay.
But it's probably Kubrick. I don't know.
Stanley Kubrick. Why am I saying that wrong? What's wrong with me?
I don't know. Let's see if there is a little English breakdown of his name. And there's not, so that backfired.
Stanley Kubrick. Let's just leave it at that, shall we?
All right. Works for me.
The film features disturbing, violent images, facilitating its social commentary on psychiatry, youth gangs, and other social, political, and economic subjects in a dystopian future Britain. A Clockwork Orange features a soundtrack comprising mostly of classical music and Moog synthesizer, as they say. And I thought that the music was really another character in this movie. What do you think?
Kind of. I mean, every time specific music played, you could tell something weird was about to happen. When the weird synthesizer music came in, you could tell something not normal was about to happen.
Yep. And don't forget
it's really the best way to describe it, because this movie has problems.
It does. Alex, and don't forget Alex's love for classical music, especially Johann Sebastian Bach. No, it wasn't Bach. It was, what was
Beethoven.
It? Beethoven, yes. His love for Beethoven, was a big factor in this movie. So add that to the whole music as another character in this movie thing.
Yeah.
All right. So the movie starred Malcolm McDowell as Alex, Godfrey Quigley, I love that name, Anthony Sharp, Patrick McGee, and Warren Clark, distributed and released by Warner Brothers on January 13th, 1971. The film ran 137 minutes, made for $2.2 million. It grossed $26 million, and there's a lot more trivia about this. I mean, the Wikipedia page for A Clockwork Orange is very, very long, has a lot of information.
Yes.
About how people reacted to it when it first came out. It was banned in both Britain and the U.S. for a time. Also, there's some great trivia about some of the themes. There's a lot of themes. There's a lot that you can get out of this movie as far as undertones and themes and that kind of thing. So we'll let you read that whole Wikipedia article. We'll have the link in the show notes at galacticnetcast.com. But right now, Matt, in your own words, tell us about A Clockwork Orange.
I don't know how to describe it without using vulgar words. It's beyond screwed up. Every time I watch this movie, I just feel bad. Like I feel wrong after I watch it. But it's about these group of guys who, oddly enough, hang out at a Milk Plus bar. Apparently there's no booze, they just drink Milk Plus. And aren't they only like 14?
I have no idea.
Definitely tell that, but so they hang out at a Milk bar and then basically like to rape people and kill people and beat them up. And then he ends up getting caught actually after he kind of has a little scuffle with his little posse.
And you're talking
so
about
the
and
government.
You're talking about Alex, the Malcolm McDowell character, right?
Yes, yeah, Alex. Like, I can't remember exactly, like. He hits one of his buddies at the Milk bar because he starts making fun of a lady for singing, and that's kind of like the beginning of the end of their little street posse. So then there's like a power struggle, and fast forward a little bit, but he gets picked up by the government, and the government's trying to do these tests basically to make him not want to be bad anymore and like shy him away from violence and inadvertently makes him, he's scared to hear Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. I don't know, I don't want to start giving stuff away, but I mean, then it kind of, he's fixed, he's better, and they release him back into the world, and then kind of things start to come back and bite him in the ass.
Yeah, all doesn't go as planned. It's not a happy ending for Alex once he gets out of his treatment. And to kind of go back a little bit with and expand about what you were talking about, he was in normal prison. I think he was sentenced to 12 years, I believe, originally.
It sounds about right. And then I think it's 12 years.
And then he found out about this Then he found out about this new treatment. He volunteered for it, and it took him a couple weeks, I believe, this psychological treatment, this conditioning to make him stop being a violent person. He gets let out, and eventually, no, I don't want to see anything more. That's it. If you haven't seen this movie, this was my first time seeing this, and I put it out on Twitter yesterday or Facebook, and people couldn't believe that this was my first time watching this movie. But it was one of those movies where I never really kind of, it wasn't really my cup of tea, kind of.
It's a movie you need to see once and only once. Like, I own it. I had watched it. Probably would have never watched it again had you not made me.
And this is what I do. I make you watch things. I make you do things that you don't want to do. Kind of like Alex made his gang partners do things that they didn't want to do.
Yes. So basically doing this podcast with you is like being married twice.
Great analogy. So so it's going well for you then?
Well, yeah. No, of course it is.
Okay. Still. All right. Okay, so I thought this movie had a lot of violence and sex. There was a lot of imagery, a lot of phalluses. A lot of phallic symbols in this movie.
It was everywhere, and I don't feel like it was done. You know how like nowadays in movies there's sex to get like 14-year-old boys to watch it. This I think was made. everyone was naked, and there was all this like dirty rape to make the film gross and dark and sad.
Well, it was supposed to be about a very depressing, very dark future, and I think that was the angle they were taking, was in the future, everything is violent and it's people are all into sex more than they are now.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get on with it. Let's do what we learned. But first, let's play this. And this is the portion of the podcast where we play clips from the movie and kind of talk about what we learned from each clip. And you start, Matt.
We learned early on that the characters in the movie talk different.
All right.
Do watch that old demon to continue to be online, thou dost wish.
Yarbles! Great bolty yard blockhouse to you! I'll meet you with chain on nozzle brick for any time. Not having you aiming toe chucks at me reasonless. But it stands to reason, I won't have it.
Thank you.
And not scrap any time you say.
After this scene, I turned on the subtitles. I had to. I couldn't understand. I couldn't understand a single word they were saying.
I don't blame you. Even when you could understand what you were saying, it was sometimes hard to understand what they meant.
Yeah.
By what they were saying.
Because it was perfect English. There was no. Well, there were some made up words. There were some slang that they made up specifically for this movie, and I think it was probably in the original book. I'm sure, I'm guessing.
Right.
But the rest of the words were English. They were just said differently in a different order and kind of with a different tone. And something else I noticed was they yelled. All the characters in this movie, especially Alex, yelled. Always yelling.
You gotta get your points across.
All right. We learned that Alex's parents are clueless.
He's not feeling too good again this morning, Dad.
Yes, I heard. You know what time you got in last night?
No, I don't. Overtake me sleepers.
I wonder, where exactly is it he goes to work of evenings?
Well, like he says, it's mostly odd things he does. Helping, like, here and there, as it might be.
You know what was cool about Alex's mom, and I noticed this on a couple of the older ladies? They all had their hair colored, like punk colors.
Yes.
So, basically, the girls of today that are doing that now are going to be doing that in this future. So, this is our future, and the girls that color their hair, because I know a couple of these girls, they always have different colored hair. They're going to be doing this when they're 70 years old.
Doesn't surprise me. Did they ever give a year that this movie took place, or is it just the future?
No, they never even said it was the future either. It was just assumed. It was assumed that this was sometime in the future. Yeah. Unless it was in the beginning and I missed it. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, in the explanation of the movie, it starts out with in futuristic London, so...
Oh, okay. I missed that. So there you go.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, in the plot description, both on Netflix and Wikipedia.
Okay.
So it might just be an assumption.
Yeah.
That it is in the future.
I think it is. All right. So what's next, Matt?
We learned that Alex has been in trouble before.
Anything wrong, sir?
Wrong. Why should you think of anything being wrong? Have you been doing something you shouldn't? Yes?
It's just a manner of speech, sir.
Yes, but it's just a manner of speech from your post-corrective advisor to you that you watch out, little Alex, because next time it's not going to be the corrective school anymore. Next time it's going to be the Bari place and all my work ruined. If you've no respect for your horrible self, you at least might have some for me, who've sweated over you. A big black mark, I tell you, for everyone we don't reclaim. A confession of failure for every one of you who ends up in the stripy hole.
That was Alex's advisor because he had been in trouble before, but I think his advisor kind of liked Alex a little bit more than he should.
Yeah, it was creepy, especially when he... I don't know if you could consider it a punch or a playful slap, but he definitely got a handful of balls.
Yes, he did. Alex got a punch to the genitals by his advisor. that was not the only part of this film that there was homosexual undertones. The priest in the prison was steering him in that direction. When they had that talk, when Alex kind of took him aside and asked him about the new treatment, the priest thought he was going to talk about something else, but he wasn't. He was going to mention this treatment.
Not only that, but when they're in service, I wouldn't say church, but the guy in the front row is like blowing kisses at Alex and winking. And
well, that's gonna. They're just playing into the whole prison stereotype.
not only that, but the whole. I don't know. The intake process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Alex first arrived at the prison.
We'll talk more about that later, though.
Okay, all right. Okay, let's continue. We learned what happened when Alex was told his victim had died.
You are now a murderer, little Alex.
Not true, sir. It was only a slight old shock. She was breathing, I swear it.
I've just come from the hospital. Your victim has died.
You try to frighten me, admit so, sir. This is some new form of torture. Say it, brother, sir.
It'll be your own torture. I hope to God it'll torture you to madness.
One of my favorite characters in the whole movie was the lead prison guard. He was very loud and he was to the point and he did everything by the book and he overdid it kind of. I think the character probably had a lot of fun doing this role because he was very over the top.
Yeah, and it wasn't bad. I mean, but it was loud and over the top, but done well.
Like I said, everybody yelled in this film.
Isn't he played the head guard was Godfrey Quigley, your best pal.
Oh, that was Godfrey. Okay, cool. Well, now his name fits his personality. At least in my head it does.
He was also the prison chaplain, by the way.
Oh, it was the same guy?
Yeah.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell.
I think so, at least. I could be wrong.
Okay.
I might be lying to you right now.
All right.
Chances are I'm lying.
It was too good to be true.
Yeah, sorry. There's a chief guard and then a chaplain.
Okay. All right. So what do you
Whatever.
Got? What do you
I
got?
Don't.
What do you got for us, Matt?
What's that?
What do you got for us?
We learned about some of the questions they asked Alex upon entering the prison.
All right.
A pair of trousers, blue pinstripe.
Have you ever had any attacks of fainting or dizziness?
No, sir.
A pair of socks, black.
Are you an epileptic?
No, sir.
A pair of underpants, white, with blue waistband.
Are you now, or have you ever been, a homeless at all?
No, sir.
Right. The mothballs, mister.
Mothballs, sir.
One of my favorite scenes in the whole movie was that right there. It was so surreal because it was like the lead prison guard was asking Alex all these questions, and then in between, the other guy was doing an inventory of all of Alex's clothes, and just the question about being, have you ever been, were you, or have you ever been, or are you, or have you ever been a homosexual? It's like you have a choice of. It's not really having a choice. You know, if you're a homosexual, you're a homosexual, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, that was funny to me, but it's like you had to catch it.
Yes. See, I catch everything because I'm sitting there just looking for clips. So every little thing kind of jumps out when you're paying that close
right.
attention. All right, so where are we at? I lost track of where we are. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Found it?
Yeah. We learned how Alex was picked for the new treatment.
What crime did you commit?
The accidental killing of a person, sir.
He brutally murdered a woman, sir, in furtherance of theft. 14 years. Sir!
Excellent. He's enterprising, aggressive, outgoing, young, bold, vicious. He'll do. I want his record sent to me. This vicious young hoodlum will be transformed out of all recognition.
Thank you very much for this chance, sir.
Let's hope you make the most of it, my boy.
You know, Alex's voice reminded me a lot of one of the Monty Python guys. If you watch the old Monty Python episodes, he has the same
right.
He has the same voice of I forget which guy. It's might be Michael Palin. It's possible.
I don't know his name, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Maybe I don't know when Monty Python was on, like it's most popular.
No, it was around the same time. Yeah, it was like 1969.
So maybe
to,
he was.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, so maybe it was on purpose.
Yeah, maybe he just heard the voice and he's like, yeah, that's the voice I'll do in this movie. It's possible.
Yeah.
All right, so what did you learn, Matt?
We learned from Alex what the treatment entailed.
All right.
I was bound up in a straitjacket, and MacGulliver was strapped to a headrest with, like, wires running away from it. Then they clamped like lid locks on my eyes so that I could not shut them, no matter how hard I tried. It seemed a bit crazy to me, but I let them get on with what they wanted to get on with. If I was to be a free young Malchik again in a fortnight's time, I would put up with much in the meantime, oh my brothers.
And you've got one more, right?
Yep, and then from the doctor, too.
Very soon now, the drug will cause the subject to experience a death-like paralysis, together with deep feelings of terror and helplessness.
I can't stand it anymore.
One of our early test subjects described it as being like death, a sense of stifling or drowning. And it is during this period we've found that the subject will make his most rewarding associations between his catastrophic experience of violence and the violence he sees.
Leave me glasses!
I learned in the trivia on the Wikipedia page that Malcolm McDowell actually went blind temporarily during the scene when they were opening his, you know, making his eyes stay open with the metal. Apparently, so, like, the metal, like, I don't know, brushed his eye or scratched his eye, and he went blind for a short period of time during the filming.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't think it was for that long, but it was very temporarily. That's, you're really, you really got to love your craft if you're going to suffer that kind of thing.
Well, and I'm looking at the picture on the Wikipedia page of the thing that they put on him, and it's like, that would suck, man. They just keep dropping saline in your eyes, and they're held open for however long.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Like, and, oh, what a terrible thing.
The guy that was dropping the saline in his eyes was actually a doctor. The guy that you see in the film, that was a real-life doctor because he had to. He had to make sure that Malcolm McDowell actually, you know, kept his eyes moist during the filming.
Right, which is, I mean, good. Good that they actually took necessary precautions to not hurt him, but, man.
If you were...
this was only like his third or fourth movie he was in?
Yeah. So if
they
you...
probably didn't get a whole lot of money for it.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, if you were going to get paid a lot of money, a few million dollars, would you put yourself through that kind of thing?
How long? How long do I have to have it on for?
15 minutes.
15 minutes straight or 15 minutes total?
15 minutes straight.
Will there be any sort of long-term side effects?
No.
Then yes.
Okay. What if you know what you know now about him going blind temporarily? Would you still do it?
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, a few million dollars for 15 minutes of suck is it's a pretty good payout.
Yeah, it is. Even if you went blind temporarily, I think I would put up with that. You know?
No, I agree.
All right, let's move on. We learned who Joe was.
Hey, Dad. There's a strange fella sitting on the sofa, munchy-wunching lumpticks of toast.
That's Joe. He lives here now. The lodger. That's what he is. He rents your room.
How do you do, Joe? Find the room comfortable, do you?
How would you like that if you got out of prison and some... your parents was renting out your room to some douchebag?
Well, if they didn't know you were coming out, then, yeah. I mean, if you didn't know that they were getting out, then you can't really blame them.
No, exactly. Yeah. Room's just sitting there. Might as well use it for something.
Yeah.
Either make it into an exercise room or rent it out. That's your two options.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, one final clip. What do you got, Matt?
So we learned that some of the people were conspiring against Alex.
We never wished you harm, but there are some who did and do. And I think you know who those are. There are certain people who wanted to use you for political ends. They would have been glad to have you dead, for they thought they could then blame it all on the government. There is also a certain man a writer of subversive literature, who has been howling for your blood. He's been mad with desire to stick a knife into you. But you're safe from him now. We put him away.
So that is at the very end of the film. And if you watch it, you'll find out exactly what happens.
Right.
So this movie seemed kind of long to me. Was it long to you?
Holy crap. Because it was like three big sections. There was like before jail, in jail, and after jail.
Yep. But, you know, I kind of have to expect long movies from Stanley Kubrick. I mean, look at 2001 A Space Odyssey. That is way, way long.
I have never seen it, and don't make me watch it.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, before Matt became my partner on this podcast, we did a similar podcast on Galactic Netcasts that was the same thing, just slightly different, and I made my co-host on that show, I made him watch 2001 A Space Odyssey, and he didn't like me for that.
I don't blame him.
Yeah. All right, so that is what we learned. Do you want to add anything else before we move on to the test?
Not really. I'm a little nervous about this test.
I'm surprised. I'll put it out there. You've seen this movie twice now, right?
Yeah, but it's very hard to pay attention to, and there's so much. There's so much that I could have missed because it's such a long movie.
Yeah, you can kind of zone out after a while. You can zone out after a while. Like, there was a portion where I'm like, oh, I wish this movie would just get done. And during that period of time, I wasn't paying attention, and I might have missed some cool things. So that might be the same for you in this test. So let's find out, shall we? Are you sitting? Are you sitting comfortably, Matt?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's play this. One of these days, I'm going to go in and actually bring down the volume of that.
The volume, right?
Yeah. So loud. Wow. All right. Okay, this is the test to find out how much Matt and you, the listener, or you, the viewers on Spreecast, learned from your viewing experience of A Clockwork Orange. Are you ready, Matt?
Yep.
Can you hear me over this loud noise?
Kind of. Nah, I can hear you.
Okay, now it's done. All right. Question number one. And by the way, we have 9 questions this time around. 9 questions.
All right.
Which eye did Alex have the fake eyelashes on? Which eye did Alex have the fake eyelashes on?
It would be his right eye. Yep, right eye.
That is correct, sir. And that's the iconic picture that you see on the poster for A Clockwork Orange. It's Alex with his eye and that the white shirt and the black hat and him holding the knife. That's the image that you see in the poster. All right. Question number 2. Who was Alex's favorite composer? And this is multiple choice, although I think you probably already know the answer. So let's not even let's dispose of the multiple choice, and you just tell me what the answer is.
Is Ludwig von Beethoven.
That is correct. And just because I put some effort into it, the multiple choice were Johann Sebastian Bach and Johann Strauss were the other ones.
Oh, nice.
Now, this may be the toughest question of this whole test. You had to be really paying you had to be really paying attention to this one, or to get this one. In the record store, when Alex went up to the counter, what movie soundtrack was on display? In the record store, when Alex went up to the counter, what movie soundtrack was on display?
Of course, this one's not multiple choice.
Yes.
Don't even know.
You don't want to venture a guess at all?
"2001: A Space Odyssey." Holy crap!
That is correct, sir. Because it was just Stanley's little inside joke, I guess.
Right, and that's kind of why I picked it.
Yeah, you picked correctly, or you chose wisely, sir.
Right, thanks.
Yeah, no problem. What was the name of the pub that Alex and his gang went to after he fought the two of them? And this is multiple choice. Was it A, the Oxbow, B, Duke of New York, or C, Wellington and Bass? And by the way, for the ones, the multiple choice that I had to make up, I think I did a pretty good job of coming up with British names. Again, A, the Oxbow, B, Duke of New York, and C, Wellington and Bass.
I think it's A.
Nope, that is incorrect. The correct answer was Duke of New York. Duke of New York.
Aww.
Yes.
Crap.
All right, moving on to question number 5. What was Alex's number in prison? And this is not multiple choice.
655321.
Holy crap, dude. You were really paying attention. Color me impressed. I am very impressed with that, you knowing that, because I wouldn't have got that.
Right. Thank you.
Why do you think you knew that?
I remember the first time he told it to him, and then I looked at the sheet of paper that the guy had, and it had stamped on it real big, and then right after he said, instead of calling him Alex, he called him by his number.
At the time when you were watching the film, did you think to yourself, that might be a question in the quiz?
No, not at all.
Really? Because, you know, that's the kind of questions that I look for. Numbers, you know.
No, I didn't even think about it. I couldn't tell you why I picked it up.
All right. Well, doesn't matter. You got it correct, and that's all that matters.
Right.
All right. Question number 6. What was the name of the treatment Alex was subjected to? And this is multiple choice. Was it A, Ludovico technique, B, Bactivarian method, or C, corneal treatment? A, or before I do them again and struggle through them, do you know the answer?
Yeah, it's the Ludovico
technique. Yes, that is correct. Congratulations!
Thank you!
By the way, did you notice L.U.D. Ludwig van Beethoven? Did you get that?
No, I didn't, actually.
I don't know if that's on purpose, but I thought that was kind of a cool tie-in to his favorite composer. All right. Okay. Question 7. How long did Alex's treatment last? And this is not multiple choice. This is a straight-up answer. How long did Alex's treatment last?
It was a few weeks.
You don't have to translate the British. You can just say the British word, British saying for it.
Well, I know. It he says a fortnight, and a fortnight's 2 weeks. So that's my guess.
That is correct. You got it, man. All right. So far, you got one wrong. You're doing great, dude.
Thank you.
Are you surprised?
Not really. If I say I expected the questions to be harder, I expect them to be harder because I know them all. So
okay,
I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Kind of surprised, but whatever.
All right. Well, we'll see how you do in this last one. What song that Alex was singing gave his identity away to the old man at the home? What song that Alex was singing gave his identity away to the old man in the wheelchair?
Singing in the Rain.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
It's that fast.
Sorry, didn't mean that. Yeah, it was Singing in the Rain. Yeah, how dumb was that of Alex to do? Or did he realize where he was? at that point?
No, he totally did. It was when that big guy was carrying him in, and he said, "Oh, he won't know who I am because I wore a mask when I was here."
Okay, that's right. Or was that just him talking about what he knew then when he was narrating it? Or at that time, did he know that's where he was?
I feel like it was he knew at that time. Like, everything he was narrating was at that time, not like after the fact, going back on it.
Yep. Okay. All right. Yeah, how dumb was that? Just, he must have been really, like, a little bit too comfortable in that bathtub.
Right.
Yeah, and by the way, going back a little bit and talking a little bit more about what happened to him after he got out of treatment, what are the chances of, A, running into the guy that he beat up, and then, B, the two cops that came to save him were two of the guys that used to be in his gang? What are the chances of those two things happening right in a row like that?
Slim to none, but it's a movie.
That's true, yeah. If I was the one to make the movie, I would have spread that out a little bit more. You know, I would have made a couple of things happen between the time that he got beat up by the homeless guys and then ran into the police.
Yeah, but then you're making a long movie even longer.
That's true, yeah. Well, take out some of the other parts that lasted forever that didn't really need to be there. Yeah, you know, Stanley Kubrick is terrible at that, where he's trying to be over artistic, and he got better at it with the movies, his later movies, but his early movies are very just these big long sections of music and effects and visual effects.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, so that's going to be it for the test, and that's going to be pretty much it for the podcast, although we haven't talked about our favorite parts and observations yet. I'll let you go first, Matt.
I know I totally brought this up before, and I forgot it. That's how awesome I am. I don't know. It's like a sad movie. It's a good movie, but I don't like watching it because it's sad, and when I started, I just wanted it to be over.
Yeah, no, it gave me...
I don't want to be sad.
It kind of gave me a weird feeling at the end. Like, after I got done, I had to watch a good movie. So I watched...
There's very few movies that I have seen where at the end of it, I was just like, yeah, I'm sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need a hug.
And not sad like you
just... This movie.
And not sad like you just got done watching, like, a feel-good family film that made you cry.
No, it just... It made me... It made me... kind of depressed. It was like, geez,
yeah,
that guy's his life sucks.
I really hope that that's not our future. I really hope that that's not what's going to happen to us in like 20 years.
I doubt it. Settle down.
I want either the robot apocalypse or aliens to invade and kill us all. Well, not necessarily
something short.
Well, not necessarily kill us. You know, show us cool technology and then like a germ from them, you know, transmits to us and we all die.
That's funny.
Because you know that's going to happen. If the aliens invade, or not necessarily invade, but if the aliens make contact with us, it's going to be just like the pilgrims and the Indians in North America. We're all going to just get wiped out because of one little germ.
It's true, but yeah, it's a funny way to put it.
All right, so like I said at the top of the show, I thought the music really acted like another character because, and like you said, whenever the weird synthesizer came in, you knew something weird or bad was about to happen.
Yeah. It was almost too obvious that something was about to happen.
Yep.
Like it was one point I was doing something else. And, like, I could hear the TV from the other room, and then music came on, so I, like, walked back in there to see what was going on.
That was your...
Lo and behold, something weird happened.
That was your cue. All right, got to pay attention now.
Yep.
And I thought it was kind of genius that they used that song against Alex, like something that he loved so much. They used in his treatment to make him not a criminal anymore, that made him sick. You know, something that he... I mean, just think if that would happen to you, like something that you would just love... You know, that was...
But they say that they did it on accident, So who's really to say if it was on purpose or it was on accident or whatever, but either way.
But it was genius for the filmmakers to make that part of the plot, I thought.
Right, right.
Or the author of the book, whoever thought of it first. I don't know. All right, I talked about the subtitles. I had to throw the subtitles on Netflix to understand what the hell they were talking about. Did you watch this on your DVD or Netflix?
On Netflix. Okay. That's how lazy I am.
No, that's I understand, because that's what I'll do, too. Like, I've got Star Trek in the other room, the 2009 Star Trek film that I've seen, like, 30 times already. And I can walk in and throw it into the Blu-ray player, but it's a lot easier for me to just, you know, click on Netflix and watch it there. All right. Also mentioned a lot of the phallic symbols and erotic art in this movie. I thought it was overdone, especially how the one woman got killed by the huge phallic
statue.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for making us explicit, Matt.
Good. Not the first time, not the last time.
I'll go back and just take that part out.
Just beat me out. That's awesome.
Beep. All right. And people will be wondering what you just said. One final thought. I thought this was one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen, period. Without question. One of the weirdest.
Yep. And it'll forever be one of the weirdest movies. Yep. And if they ever remake this movie, I'm going to be super upset.
You know it's going to happen. And I was actually thinking of a way of making it better last night, and I can't remember what it was. Like, I thought of a plot element that they could have done better, but I can't remember what it is now.
I feel like if they just shortened it, made it a little more to the point, it would make it considerably better.
Yeah, it's just like 2001 A Space Odyssey. If you take out all the slow part and all the artistic music parts, it could have been a lot better film. And, you know, if they redid it and made it shorter and made it quicker, punchier, you know, moved it along a little bit more, it might be a better film. I just remember what it was. Make Alex less annoying. Make him more of a victim and less like a snotty little brat, you know? That's how I would do it if I redid the film.
Yeah, but I feel like him being a snotty brat almost makes you feel okay about the fact that he's just getting crapped on all the time.
That's true. That's very true. All right. So, okay, that's going to do it. If you have a suggestion for a future film or TV show that we should watch, leave it. Give us feedback. Let us know. GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com. Also, the voicemail number is 805-328-3966. Again, 805-3966, galacticnetcast.com. That's our network. That's our website. That is the place to go for everything. You can subscribe to this podcast there by clicking the iTunes logo or by filling out the email form along the right-hand side of the page. Also, along the top menu is our Google+, Facebook, and Twitter accounts. You can listen to all the Galactic Netcast show on Stitcher Smart Radio via your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, webOS devices. Stitcher is a smart radio for your phone. You can find it in your app store. Or if you're brand new to Stitcher, go to Stitcher.com/GalacticNetcasts and enter the promo code GalacticNetcasts for a chance to win a $100 cash card. How about that, Matt?
I saw that, and I'm like, you should go download that.
No. That would be bad. Do not do that. Anyways, you already got it, so you're void, right? Yeah, okay.
I got it.
It's only for new customers, so you're not a new customer, you can't do it.
And to be honest, in, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I'll get up and walk away and completely forget about it.
You have the memory of a cat, pretty much.
For
those who don't know how Stitcher Smart Radio works, it's just like an app that you download, and you don't have to use memory on your device. You don't have to sync to iTunes. You don't have to download the actual audio. It just streams to your phone through the app. It's a very simple, easy way, and you don't have to take up valuable space that you can use for stupid pictures that you take on your phone. Right?
Yes, sir.
All right, so next week's assignment, we're going to get a little bit newer with this one, and I was kind of glad to see this come back on iTunes because I wanted to watch this when it was on before, and then they took it off for a while. It is the 2004 film Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. Are you familiar with this movie?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I've heard like one or two people talking about it way back when, and I don't ever remember hearing anything good.
Yeah, I don't think it's that good, but we'll find out. I've never
seen
it.
Netflix thinks I would give it a 1.5 stars.
Really? That's not a good sign at all.
Nope.
All right, so it stars Gwyneth Paltrow, Jude Law, Giovanni Ribisi, Michael Gambon, Bai Ling, Sir Laurence Olivier. So it's got to be somewhat good, right? With him in it?
No. I don't know. I don't know what I'm in for.
He's a sir, so it's got to be good, right? He's British royalty. When you're a sir, right? You're a British. You're a part of the British Empire.
So is Elton John, and what has that guy really done?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think they've lowered their standards a little bit too. I don't know.
I'm gonna go ahead and see if I can get my hands in that basket.
Also, last but not least, Angelina Jolie. I think she actually plays the Sky Captain in this film. I'm not really sure. All I can remember is she has a patch. So she's kind of less
eye patch.
Yeah, she's kind of less sexy that way. Here's the plot summary from IMDb. After New York receives a series of attacks from giant flying robots, a reporter teams up with a pilot in search for their origin, as well as the reason for the disappearances of famous scientists from around the world. So, you know, you had me at giant flying robots.
Jude Law plays the Sky Captain.
Oh,
just
okay.
Throwing that out there.
What does Angelina Jolie play?
Commander Francesca.
Okay. All right.
She commands a Royal Navy flying aircraft carrier.
Okay. So she's doing a British accent. I'm guessing.
Yes, Dave.
All right.
Are you excited for that?
Yes. I love British accents, especially on the ladies.
Oh, boy.
All right, so watch that with us and join us again next week for another edition of the Sci-Fi Film School Podcast. This has been episode 17. Thanks for listening or watching. And Matt, until next week, we'll talk to you later.
See you later, Dave.
This has been a presentation of Galactic Netcasts. To subscribe to this and our other podcasts, go to galacticnetcasts.com.